This is with Giancarlo Nava and Ryan Goins.
Welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Nava. And with me today, we have co-founder, Mr. Brian Goins, producer. How are you, sir?
Hey, it's Mark Hockman.
Stop doing that! God, he was doing that before we started recording. He just kept playing that in loop. It was so annoying. And Alf, Heat Twitter president, who's also on with us, is laughing at it. He just fell over on his chair.
It's funny, man. I like when Brian messes with you.
God, I hate it. And we have a professional trash skill. Tweeter, Mr. Jack Alfonso. Welcome to the program. I want to start the show in the most important place today. I know the Heat are in the playoff race, but something has developed on Twitter today, more specifically in the last 10 minutes. Who would win in a fight? Eric Reed, Tony Fiorentino, Jonathan Zaslow, or Mike Inglis? Now, we're dead heat. Tony and Mike Inglis, each with 36% of the vote.
Jack, go over the results, because you have more than just one poll out there.
No, I want to get to this first one. And I want to go around the room, because there's nothing right now in sports that I care about more than this poll. Alf, who do you have winning a fight between Eric Reed, Tony, Zaslow?
I told you guys, definitely it's Mike Inglis. Mike Inglis is a former hockey player. He doesn't have any of his original teeth. He's like 6'8", 400 pounds. He screams into a microphone for a living. We already know he's easily angered. He has a hair trigger temper. Like, come on, dude. Like, Mike Inglis is winning that thing going away. Next, maybe Zaslow, because he
you
might
think
bite.
Zaslow over Tony?
You could tell Zaslow cheats.
That's probably
Zaslow's
true.
Punching scrotums.
Jack, what do you think?
I get what he's saying about Inglis, and I agree that's probably the logical answer. But I picked Tony just because I can't bet against that guy in any situation. That guy's a winner. He's a Miami Heat champion.
It's that culture, right?
Yeah, it's that culture. I know they all have the culture, but nobody has it more than Coach Tony.
Original employee, Alec.
Also, if he's been drinking, he's probably pretty invincible.
That's true. There's also
Brian,
a second
Brian
poll up.
Brian didn't like that I said that.
Are you allowed to vote on this?
If I had to choose, I want to be Mike Inglis for obvious reasons.
Okay, good. Okay, excellent. Jackie, would you want to bring up the second poll?
Do you agree
that Tony would be drunk, Brian, or no? You don't want to comment. All right. Sorry. Next poll, Jack.
Next poll,
hey,
Jack.
It's Mark Hockman.
Great start.
Next poll. What do you got, Jack?
Okay, the second poll is the same question, who would win in a fight, but it's between Jason Jackson and Ron Rothstein. Currently, Jason Jackson's at 52%, Ron Rothstein's at 48%. It's been close since I posted it.
I mean, Ron got that old man strength, but I think what Alf said about Zaz, that he cheats, I think Jason Jackson cheats.
And Jason Jackson's a very large man. I don't know if you guys have seen him up close. I've been next to him. He's like much larger than me. Like he's like probably 6'2", 6'3". He's a big dude. I mean, I feel like Ron Rothstein's spunky, but I think Jackson just overpower him.
See, I don't know about that. I think Ron Rothstein has that ferocity that you need in a fight. I don't think Jason Jackson can go to that level.
I think when
you start a fight, Rothstein, you see his eyes just go black, and then he just attacks you. Jason Jackson, no. I don't
where
see
do
that
you,
happening.
Where do you factor in that Rothstein has been with the organization since day one, so he has more of Heat culture in him than Jason Jackson?
And he probably knows all the hiding places in the arena. he was like guerrilla warfare. I just imagine him jumping out of a rafter and just pummeling Jackson.
Didn't we switch arenas? Is Miami Arena still American Airlines Arena?
No, Brian.
No.
Brian.
Really? Two different places. I really don't know. Number one, hold on. Why did you have to? Well, actually, Alf. Number two, yes, they're different places. We were having so much fun. Why did you ruin it?
I was trying to get the facts straight.
Why? Why? We're talking about fictional fighting between Heat broadcasters.
It's just the journalist inside of me.
Okay.
I have to let it free.
Well, I should have said Tony would allegedly be drunk then.
It's not. It wouldn't be the first time we've accused him of that on this podcast. We have to stop.
As long as you say allegedly, you can say anything.
Good, yeah, we're good, you know?
Yeah.
Jack, why'd you accuse Biamonte of killing people?
Oh, yeah, what was that?
What?
You said Biamonte looks like he's killed people in the past.
Oh, I don't know. He's got crazy eyes. Just something about him. It looks like... I'm not saying he has, but I'm saying I wouldn't be that surprised.
I think Eric Reed has some of that. Like, I feel like Eric Reed, like, goes home, takes off the suit, like, pulls out a burner phone.
He's wearing a wife beater.
Yeah, like, he's wearing a wife beater. And, like, when he takes off his, like, button-down shirt, like, he has a herringbone chain.
The glasses are fake.
And he pulls out a pack of Kools or Newports.
Newports, come on.
And man. He pulls out the burner phone and starts making deals. I could see him just flip and just like, does Eric Reed have to choke a bitch? Like, I just see that happening. Am I the only one? Like, I feel like he has some street cred, man.
I feel like he leaves the arena and immediately his voice changes because there's no way that voice is real. It's way too cartoonish to be real.
Like, it sounds like a pimp like when he leaves. Yeah, baby.
What was that? He doesn't even say Eric Reed's yeah, baby. Voice. Tony Eric, says yeah, baby.
Eric Reed's pimp voice. Kaboom, baby.
I've talked to him in interviews, and it's more toned down. Like, he absolutely, that voice is hyperbole. Because I've done a phone interview with him before, and it's like for a print story, and he did not sound the same. Like, he tones it down.
Does he have a pimp laugh? Because I really want him to have a pimp laugh. Like.
You sound like Jay-Z.
Sound like you're high.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, we have a few things we want to get into. We're going to get back into that. We can get into Dion Waiters injury. Brian, are we allowed to talk about that?
Sure. So, according to sources...
So...
These are actual sources, actually. In case people are...
We at Heatbeat have it on good information, and by good information, I mean sources, plural, that Dion Waiters is going to be out, that the Heat fear, I should say, allegedly the Heat fear that Dion Waiters will miss 6 to 8 weeks because of a torn ligament, a grade 3 sprain or whatever. It would appear that Anthony Chang and Manny Navarro are trying to prove us wrong. Anthony reported he's getting better. Yeah, Anthony's a traitor, dude. What the hell, man?
Traitor. Like, that's BS. Like, before he appeared on our podcast, like, he wasn't going on local radio shows and stuff. Like, we trained him, and then he's going to turn his back on us, like, first chance he gets. That's, I mean, listen, that's amateur hour, man.
How bad do we look?
At me, Chang.
Leisure would have never done that.
Leisure would have never done that.
Leisure would have never done that.
Leisure would have made up an extra injury for Dion just to make us look good. Like, he'd be like, yeah, everyone else says he's off crutches, but I saw his arm wrapped up and he looked like he had a lobotomy. So he's probably out 8 to 10 weeks.
I've confirmed our report, told the Heat, no, you're wrong.
Yeah. Chang, I mean, the first chance he gets, he just turns snitch. I mean,
he does whatever it takes to get ahead in life.
I don't know about this Chang anymore.
I don't know. I don't think we should have him on anymore, Brian.
No. And then Manny's never come on, so.
Oh, yeah, Manny's another one, dude. Manny trying to, you know, 10 minutes after, what is it, 5, 10 minutes after a report, Manny comes out. What the hell?
This is straight up blood feud with Manny. Chang, Chang, maybe Chang, he can redeem himself.
No, Chang's dead to us. Manny's salvageable.
No, I think it's all the way around. Like, I think if I see Manny in the street, it's on.
Fight him.
Put my hands on Manny.
did they think, didn't Chang said that he was getting better, that he might not even get an MRI, which is odd. Which,
Chang is a puppet. That should be the name of the pod. Chang is a puppet.
Anthony, you're a puppet. You're a puppet to the system. Yeah, Anthony reported a lot of interesting things. Hassan was in the weight room today. Hassan said he would play. That was all before he sabotaged us, or after he sabotaged us. Yeah, source tells me Deion Waiter's ankle is progressing. Deion wanted MRI if ankle wasn't progressing, but it's getting better, so no MRI scheduled. I mean, what a punk, dude.
Yeah, really?
I thought okay, he was a puppet. Now he's a punk.
Yeah, was that, Anthony, was that necessary? Okay, we already look bad. And, you know, it's scary to put out a report because you kind of hope it's right. You trust your sources. You trust your reporting. And you put that out there and you're kind of terrified. You're like, if this is wrong, we're going to look like idiots. And then we have Anthony Chang dancing on our graves. A puppet.
Puppet.
Hey, guys. It's Anthony Chang from the Palm Beach Post.
Get him out of here! Want him here. I'll show your
face. Anyway, if he really is able to come back before the end of the regular season, that's a great thing. Let's just hope it's not too late.
Let me tell you something. Last night, they beat the Suns, and that first quarter was so bad, I was thinking, oh boy, they're not going to make the playoffs anymore. It's over.
Like, hey, full disclosure, I was hoping Nekias would come on because I did not watch yesterday's game. I watched like the end of the third quarter and most of the fourth, and then it was a blowout. And
I listened to the first half. Mike Inglis was unhinged, as he always is, dude. That I don't, you know, every season I probably listen to maybe two or three games on the radio because something happens. I had an emergency yesterday, I had to run to help somebody, so I got to listen for a half. And every couple games, every couple games a year, I listen. He's awesome. Because he gets mad at nothing. And it's great. They're winning by 10, and Mike Inglis is like, the world is coming down if they make a basket.
The lead's down to 12. The Heat are letting this one slip away.
Oh, right. Embarrassing! Just right a parade to the free throw.
It's the Keystone Cops out there.
Jack,
that's my favorite one.
Jack, did you watch the game?
I did.
Thank God. I was like, oh God, am I going to have to talk about this alone?
Yeah,
that
you are.
That quarter was so bad. I thought that it was over. They couldn't defend. They couldn't score. It was over.
You don't have the guts.
Correct. That's the problem.
You gotta have faith.
I have no guts. I'm terrible. I don't think they're gonna make the playoffs. I still don't.
They're in good position. I think they will, especially if they get Deion back and Hassan. I think Hassan, he's coming back soon, right?
He's trying to play tomorrow.
That's crazy to me. 13 stitches.
I don't think they'll let him. I mean, he said that, but the team did not say that.
He's listed as probable, though, on the injury report. So, boom.
Yeah, I think he'll play. If he doesn't play, I think he's only going to miss he's only going to miss one game if he misses anything, which is, I mean, listen, that's a win. Without Ibaka, It might be a good game to actually just let him sit out because of without Ibaka there. But I'm like you, G. I vacillate from game to game, like, because it's so tight. When I see them lose a game and they drop to ninth, I panic. I'm like, okay, well, forget it, man. Blow it up. Tank season's back. Go for the lottery pick.
It's too late for tank season.
Yeah, I know. But I'm just saying, like, I vacillate with each and every game. Like, win, oh man, we're gonna crush Cleveland in the first round. A loss, oh my God, we don't belong in the playoffs. So I just think it's the nature of this team, man. We've seen them lose so much. Like, when they lose a game, we're just like, okay, we're right back to where we started. So,
I did it in a quarter, Alf. After a quarter, I was like, well, it's over. It's over.
You're overly emotional. Like, this team has come back from a lot of deficits this year.
But they look bad, and it's not that just they look bad. I said Deion wasn't there, and it just – I was like, I still don't think this team can survive him being out too long because they Tyler Johnson played really well yesterday, but he's not going to give you that every night. And he kept them afloat when it was bad, as, you know, Deion usually does until Goran got it going. But they're going to need a contribution like that every night if Deion is not there. And that's what I'm worried about, because I think without Deion, I think it's pretty sure that they can't beat Cleveland, because they play Cleveland once and they play Boston once. And I think without Deion, both those games, Boston's on the road. Those games become really hard because you kind of count on him and his bad shot making. But you're going to need contributions from, like, somebody's going to have to step up and give you the Tyler Johnson game to win Jack, some of these games.
Jack, are you a Josh Richardson fan?
I love Josh Richardson. But I get that he hasn't been great this year, and I'm kind of worried about him long term. But I also realize he's had all those injuries this year, so it's been kind of hard to find consistency. And I think he still has potential going forward, but I mean, I'm not super high on his game, but personality wise, he's probably my favorite Heat player.
But see, what I'm looking at is I don't see why he should be getting that many minutes. I understand, like, Spo says his defensive activity, but I mean, right now, like, I look at it and I say, okay, maybe Tyler is better suited to the bench, right? He's more comfortable with Tyler coming off the bench, all that stuff. But why not, and you guys tell me if I'm crazy, why not start James Johnson and move Magruder to the two?
I mean, that's just kind of the way Spo is. He likes to keep those lineups intact, and I really think he likes that that James Johnson bench energy. Like, I think he really likes keeping him in the second unit. Otherwise, he definitely would have been in the starting lineup by now.
But that's just kind of... I think Babbitt in that starting lineup's a little important because they have to.
No, get I'm up not to... saying take Babbitt out. I'm saying put James Johnson in and move Magruder to the two.
You're saying play James Johnson at the three?
At the three or the four and put Babbitt at the three. Whatever you want to do. Because James, I mean, depending on the matchup, James Johnson can guard.
I think Babbitt. Then your depth is so shot at power forward, then what do you do coming off the bench? Like, if you had Winslow to come off the bench or somebody like that, I think it'd be reasonable.
Yeah.
But right now with, like, who would they have playing the four off the bench then? Okaro?
Yeah.
I mean, they haven't been playing him much recently.
Why not? Did you just stagger Babbitt and White's minutes? I'm not totally just saying forget Josh Richardson. I'm just saying that the way he's playing, like, and the fact that his strong suit is not initiating offense. I mean, we saw it yesterday. We saw it in all its glory. And I've been saying it forever that when he brings the ball up the court, they don't get into offense until 11 seconds left in the shot clock. And we saw it yesterday in all its glory where it was literally 8 seconds left in the shot clock before he even made a move towards the basket. He dribbled around the half court line for the first 16 seconds. Like, it was just bad.
Yeah, I think...
And he does it a lot. Yesterday was exacerbated, but he does it a lot.
No, he's definitely not a great primary ball handler. I hate when he brings up the ball because, yeah, he just stays, like, probably, like, 5 feet beyond the three-point line, just dribbling for maybe 12 seconds, just letting the clock run down. And he's not a point guard, and I get that they've been trying to make him more of a ball handler as, like, a development project, but I think long-term what he is a spot-up shooter who can maybe attack the rim from time to time. I don't think he's a star, but I like him in the role that he was his rookie year, honestly, where he was just sitting at the three-point line making open shots. And maybe dunking on some people.
Where he was being more of a Magruder than anything else. Like, he was playing the Magruder role last year.
Yes.
Pesky defender, spot-up shooter, and occasional driver. And got most of his points off of spot-up threes and cutting to the basket. There was a couple times where he would handle the ball and had an explosive play to the rim. But that explosion is gone, man. I don't see it anymore. Or I'm not saying it's gone forever, but he's not right physically, I don't think.
They also don't have another, now that Deion's out, they don't have another ball handler. Because Tyler's not, I mean, Tyler's a little better at it, but Tyler's not.
Yeah, Tyler's not that much better than TJ. I'm telling you, not TJ, I'm sorry. Tyler's not that much better than Jay Rich. Like, to me, they're without Deion, their second best point guard is James Johnson.
Well, this is where Winslow kind of comes into play, because you look at those three-man lineups with TJ and J-Rich at the backcourt spots, and then you had Justice Winslow as the primary ball handler. And those lineups shot well. Winslow is a pretty good facilitator, and he just gives you that extra guy with Deion and James Johnson who can create for people.
No, I was going to say that to Jack's point, Justice was top five in the league in drives per game.
That's what I'm saying. Can we discuss the fact that everyone's saying that Justice would not fit with this lineup or the way they're playing currently, but Justice would absolutely fit because, I mean, he was a really good drive and kick player. Like, he can get into the teeth of the defense, and he was a really good passer. Why wouldn't he be able to fit into the way the team is playing right now?
Because you want to run the offense with Goran and Deion instead of Justice. And I know Jack's going to get mad at me. I think Justice would fit with this incarnation without Deion because you need the ball handler. And you don't, like, I think, and Jack knows, Justice is a smart player. Like, it's not like he doesn't know what to do off the ball. But the fact that he can't shoot, he's forced to cut and do other things. And, like, Dwayne did it for years, and he was effective, but Justice also isn't a good finisher. He's improved a lot, but he's still not there yet. So I think when you have Goran and Deion, his role becomes a little harder to fill. Now they need a guy like him that just handles the ball and initiates offense.
Well, when you have the lineups with Goran and Deion out there, there's two guys that attack relentlessly. And it works.
Yeah, so but they're both shooters. Like, so, like,
every single person on this team, their three-point percentage has gone up from the first half of the year. Of course. Why are we assuming that Justice would still be a low 30s? Justice is also
younger than they are.
Like, why would he still be low
30s? I don't think he'd be low 30s. I'm just saying that he's a lot younger.
It just bothers me that people write him off like, oh, he could not play with the Heat playing this style. Like, yes, he could. Like, I don't know, and maybe the defense would be better because the defense has been piss poor in some of these games.
I think Winslow has a lot of problems that he needs to work on, obviously. Like, I don't think he would have miraculously become a great shooter in the second half of the season, but we did react to a super small sample. He didn't play that much this year, and I get that his shooting numbers were pretty terrible, and I don't think they would have gotten great, but I think what he does to facilitate the offense would have given you an asset there. And I think what he does, like, he can rebound and push the ball up the floor in transition. He can defend. His defensive numbers weren't that great earlier in the year, but you have to think he turns that around. I think he just gives you an extra guy. I don't know how he would have worked in those Goran Deion lineups, but like I said earlier, those TJ, J-Rich, Winslow three-man lineups, those were pretty fantastic, and I think that's kind of what his role is kind of a point forward like that, where he's just your primary creator when maybe Deion's injured or Goran's on the bench or something like that. And they could have used him a lot right now with Deion out, and I think he would have helped a lot.
His role would have increased dramatically, and I think he has a spot on this team going forward, and a lot of people are writing him off, and I don't know. I just don't see it. I just think there's way too much promise with that kid. Like, he's going to be a good, serviceable, above average NBA player. And I mean, you need those guys.
Jack, if I told you that Justice Winslow in his career would become what James Johnson is right now, would you take that?
I mean, I would accept it. That's fine. I think that's a pretty realistic scenario. I think he can be better. I don't know if he will be. But like Al said, regardless, he's going to be a good player. We saw that last year. He was a productive player at 19 on a playoff team. He's going to be, at the very least, a very productive role player, whether just defensively or maybe he adds another component to his offensive game that makes him a really good, like James Johnson. I think that's a realistic projection. And I think if he did become James Johnson, but like younger, I think that's actually a great scenario.
I think that's a great scenario if that's what he becomes. because those guys, Jack, a four that can ball handle and run pick and roll and that can defend, like that's a wet dream. You know what I mean? Like that's what everybody wants.
Yeah, that's what you need in the NBA right now. And Spo works wonders with guys like that. And Winslow's super versatile and more versatile defensively than I think James Johnson is, just maybe by virtue of age and athleticism. But if you can have Winslow's defensive ability where he can lock up 1 through 4 and maybe some fives, and you add what James Johnson gives you on offense, I think you'd take that any day. Cause that's,
I mean, there's a heartbeat. I mean, just,
yeah. I think that's not a star, but it's the next best thing, which is an incredible role player that can work in any lineup.
Which it's why I found it weird that it was reported that the Heat couldn't get more than a second round pick for James Johnson, because he seems like the kind of player that every team in the league would want. Like, if you realistically look at fit, what team would say no to him? Like, what team would say, no, that guy? Like, I think he can go into any NBA rotation and play.
What I wonder is, is he getting a label as a system guy? Do people see Luol and Joe Johnson and say, well, look what happened when those guys left the Heat?
Well, both those guys have a history of being all-stars, so I think that's a bad example.
Well, I'm just saying, Luol came off of that year, those years with the Cavs, and he looked done as a player. You know, he looked bad.
No, I agree, but I don't think he'd have that reputation yet.
I think they do.
Oh, I think they do around league offices. Maybe not among fans, but definitely I think a lot of, like, front offices respect the hell out of Spo and definitely believe he's one of those guys who can turn a player around. You heard, I can't remember the exact quote, and I'm paraphrasing, but it was some league office guy was talking about Spo, said he was like a car mechanic who works on the team over the season, and by the All-Star break, he has some crappy old car working like it's brand new, because he just gets under the hood and plays around with it. So I think he definitely has the reputation of turning guys like James Johnson around.
And I wonder if some teams feel like, okay, do we have, is he going to be the same player here as he is in Miami? Like, do we have the minutes? Do we have the role? You know, Luol and Joe Johnson had a track record, had a history. But when you look at James Johnson's history, you're probably thinking, well, the Heat, you know, they polished a turd over there. I don't know if he's going to be able to do that here. I wonder if that's the case. I mean, it really could be.
That should be our next special.
I think it's the contract, too.
That should be. No, but hold on. But, like, I understand what you're saying, Alf, but, like, I guess, I don't know. Because then you can turn around and say the same for Dion, but everyone's scared that Dion's going to get offered a lot of money when you're saying teams around the league are going to say, hey, that, you know, that's just a polished
turd. See, I don't think that. I think it's going to be the same thing, polished turd. I think a lot of people are going to chalk up what's happening with Dion, James Johnson, Wayne Ellington. They're going to chalk it up. Okay, well, you know, they had an increased role on a team with limited talent, with a top three coach, and they just had, you know, career seasons. I don't feel like people are going to look around and say, man, what our team needs is $18 million of Dion Waiters. When you say it out loud, dude.
Dog,
like
the Knicks, the Lakers.
I still don't see it, man. And we make fun of Magic Johnson in his tweets. He doesn't seem like Fizz isn't going to do that.
Fizzy will take him, dude. Fizzy will take him.
No.
They need a permit. No, I'm saying, like, no, and I was just kind of joking, but, like, teams like Memphis might overspend because they need a perimeter score.
Well, what's overspend? Like, I think people think he's going to get 20 mil a year. Like, people are insane. Like, dude, like, maybe 14. Maybe. Like, I don't see him getting much more than that.
But TJ just got 20 annually. For the last 2 years of the deal. Like,
you have to understand that was a poison pill contract.
Yeah, and that's circumstantial. Like, you're not, if, you keep
If you average out over 4 years, that normally would have been 12, 13.
Yeah, nobody's going to say that TJ in 1 year is worth $20 million.
And that's how much Brooklyn would have paid too.
That's how Twitter made me feel.
You formed your opinion based on what Twitter said? Like,
No.
I think TJ has a pretty impressive resume compared to Deion. Like, TJ has a track record of consistent improvement, and he's always been good since entering the league. Deion has been pretty inconsistent, going from terrible to okay to erratic to great right now. So you don't really know what you're going to get with him. With TJ, I think there's a little more reliability with that contract. Maybe less upside, but I think TJ's definitely the safer bet.
No, absolutely the safer bet. But I don't know. It makes it so difficult because it's a roll of the dice, right? Like, this sample size is getting bigger and bigger of him playing to, like, 18 points per game on 46% shooting and 40-something from three. You know what I mean? With good defense and running an offense with a decent usage rate. Like, he's doing these things with a bigger, like, the sample keeps getting bigger. And at what point do we just say this is who he is now? I don't know. It's just
after another year.
No, because there's precedent. I mean, Jeremy Lin did it for an extended period of time, and that he just became a backup, you know, like a serviceable backup, you know what I mean? Or heat playoff killer, whichever you want to say.
He was Jordan, man. Like he got Jordan. He got the Jordan calls.
In the playoffs?
Series. He got serious against the Heat last year. Like, you couldn't touch Jeremy Lin. I had no idea.
How annoying was that? Do you remember how frustrating that got?
Dragon.
What'd you say, Jack?
You sound like Terminator. By Terminator, I mean Alex.
Jack, what were you saying?
Jack's gone.
Did we lose Jack?
Oh, well.
Okay.
No, good, I'm here. The connection was weird, so I couldn't really hear you.
Okay, what were you saying about something about Goran?
No, I'd say you could punch Goran in the face and he'd get called for an offensive foul, but if you blew anywhere near Jeremy Lin, it was a flagrant two.
It was a hair.
It was because it was their fans. They made that video about him not getting calls in the regular season. They made, like, a YouTube compilation, and then I guess the refs were like, oh, well, we got to give them calls now, but I don't know.
Low-key, we were supposed to make one for Goran, and we never did. We never did.
We got lazy.
Guess.
Yeah. How many? Okay, can we go through all the ideas that we wanted to do that we never did? Because that was one of them. Oh, my God. So, I don't even know if you guys know this. I got together with a guy, his name was Ryan. He's on Heat Twitter. I got to find his at. We were supposed to do a video chronicling LeBron's leaving of Miami, starting from the Instagram post when Stugatz was joking, that's phase one. Like, we had a script written out and a video. And we were writing it and we were recording audio and we never finished it. It was a documentary style thing of him leaving Miami. Brian, do you remember that?
Yeah, he was in Australia while we were reaching out to him.
Yeah, dude, and we just never finished it.
It was a terrible idea.
That's a terrible idea? Yeah, a documentary style, because like I think the nation doesn't know how shady that whole thing was.
Yeah, but nobody cares but us, dude.
I know, but it was just for us, though.
Just for us.
It was going to be like a first of a video series. Like, we were going to do more of these.
Do you remember how crazy that was? Like, from, like, hour to hour, it would switch Miami to Cleveland. The thing with the website, do you remember that?
The color palette.
The website color palette.
Yeah.
I feel like you don't think
exotic cars
as I did.
No, because you get so stuck on the whole LeBron Big Three thing. Like, you're stuck in the past, dude.
Okay, so we were also going to do Chris Quinn Day. I think I mentioned this last show.
Yeah.
Where the day Shaq got his jersey retired, we were going to have Chris Quinn graphics and Chris Quinn stories every hour in celebration of Shaq's jersey retirement.
Basically what we did for Dwayne Wade when he came back.
Yeah, except with Chris Quinn. That's a good idea, man.
Dude, just the other day, before the Toronto, who did we just play? That's how... Phoenix. Didn't I just say I was going to write recaps for every game? And the first game that came along, I didn't even watch it.
What else?
I've been saying I'm going to write an article for the last 6 months.
That oh, my God. We were supposed to do a March Madness Heat Twitter tournament. Never got around to it.
I would have won.
I didn't even like the idea.
It's almost April. I have like a Eric Spoelstra story that is like has like parts of it written that I haven't touched in weeks. I have outdated stats. Yeah, it's bad.
We used to sell t-shirts.
Oh yeah, oh, we still do. We just haven't, we haven't promoted it as much. We used to do the remember the game graphics?
Yeah.
Almost died. Oh, oh boy. No, that lasted like a couple weeks. I used to do
but graphics. But then they started to suck, and those game graphics were just depressing.
Why?
Well, because we were losing.
We were so bad, dude.
No, it's funny because I just see the offensive rating dwindle every game. Yeah. I would update it every game. It was like, so it would be like 101 today, 100 next game, 99, 99.5. I was like, damn.
It was funny because you used to put like players to watch, and you put Chris Bosh's picture on them and just a sad face on his point per game.
Oh, because then everybody got hurt. So, like, I couldn't put Gorn and Hassan because, like, they were both hurt. I put, like, Bosch and Magruder.
That was and hilarious.
Babs, like, that was the state of the Heat at the time. My God, that was a sad. That was the 11-30 start. Oh, God.
Before I forget, I want to say that, Alf, we're going to make a polished turd shirt just for you.
A polished turd?
Shiny new bums.
Or that too. Both. We'll make both.
Shiny. Yeah, buy our shirts. Check us on our Twitter feed and at represent.com. Search Miami Heat Beat. We have a store. We have a Trust the Spoces shirt that Brian is wearing right now. You can't see it. We have a Pat Riley shirt. We had a Culture shirt, but it got taken down for trademark. And there is no trademark for Culture. I think we know what happened here, Court Culture. We see what you did. They wanted to make their shirt. They saw us and they took us out. We have other great show moments.
Our shirt is tweet Twitter.
Too. Yeah, he Twitter thing. So check that out at represent.com.
Yeah, if any of you guys ordered the Heat Culture shirt that we made and actually had it ship and you actually have it, you should definitely hold on to that because that's like limited edition.
Send us a picture. Tweet us a picture at the shirt because we want to see it made because ours got canceled. I ordered mine and my order got canceled. And so... Sad face, sad face.
We also
face.
Have a Learn a Game shirt with Spoon on it.
For those of you who know, that is a collector's edition. Learn the Game Spoon shirt. I want to...
I have a question.
Yes.
Yes.
Wait, no. Was that going to be a big thing?
No, it was just going to be... It was going to be sad because I wanted to talk about them losing to Portland. But
it's okay, just, screw I, that. Never mind.
Yeah, that's why
I said, have a question.
It's a big sigh because I was like, oh, God.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Let's hear Jeff.
Okay. Going forward, who would you rather take, Josh Richardson or Rodney Magruder? If you had to cut one right now and sign an extension for one right now.
Alf, you go first.
Are they both the same price in the extension? Because that actually varies my opinion on this take.
Gotta complicate things.
So yes, they're the same. They're the same.
Yeah, sure. Fine.
Let's make all things equal. All
right, well, then I guess Josh Richardson because he's younger.
I will keep Magruder. Okay. And I say Magruder because he's probably been a better 3-point shooter than Josh this year. I don't have the numbers on him.
Magruder this year is what Josh was last year.
But what I'm saying is Magruder's defensive instincts are miles ahead of Josh Richardson. I'm sorry, people call Josh Richardson a great defender. I've been saying it since last year, even when he was on that great run. He is not a smart, instinctive defender. He's just very active. But Magruder is active and instinctual. Like, he is a great young defender. Like, great. And then just, like, the whole scavengers crap, like, just not giving a crap, going for every loose ball. Just, like, he's just the kind of guy that you want on your team. Like, now, Josh Richardson, he's an athlete, man. Like, and I know it sounds bad, but man, he's a dynamic.
Alf, what analysis? No, he's an athlete.
But that's what I'm saying. That's all he is. He's an athlete. He's a dynamic person. Is Josh Richardson really special?
Alf, we were not saying this last second half of last
year. Dude, I was. Like,
You were not saying he's just the guy. You were saying his defense was overrated, which it was. But
dude, you think I believed in his 60% 3-point percentage? Like, no, come on, dude. Like, people got really, really excited about Josh Richardson. Low and I said, people were saying Josh Richardson was a better prospect than Justice. And I was like, you are like, that is not.
People just hate Justice.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing. And Jack, I think it was you who said it. Like, when guys can't shoot, people underrate them so quickly. Like, how people overrate the crap out of Devin Booker and underrate Justice Winslow, when Justice Winslow is a better basketball player than Devin Booker is. He plays both sides of the floor. But because Justice isn't the greatest shooter, he gets underrated. So Josh got pushed ahead of Justice in this hierarchy, which never made any sense to me, because like, Josh is a guy, dude. Like, you're going to find those guys in the second round and in the D League. Like, right now, like, who's... I was going to go too far with the Okoro White thing. But I really was.
We can go back to Magruder in this conversation. I think Magruder could be eventually a Josh Richardson type.
He is already.
You think so?
He's doing what Josh did last year.
Well, he's doing it a little differently. Like, I think Rodney Magruder has more playmaking ability. Like, I think he's probably a better passer and ball handler. And I would take Jay Rich, I think, but it's a tough decision. I don't know. I really like Magruder. I think he's a lifer. He's a lifer.
Excellent.
But Jay Rich is special. I think as a shooter, I don't know what to say other than he's special. He's special.
It could go either way.
No, yeah, it can definitely go either way, where he either is nothing and last year was a total anomaly, or he's a really good, like Danny Green, but worse on defense and better at shooting. That's my projection.
No way. He is not going. You think he's going to be a better shooter than Danny Green?
No, I mean, probably not.
Okay, like.
you were so soft in that position.
Dude, there's no way, dude. He's not.
I have to hold your ground
in anything right now, because I haven't seen him play in so long. And everybody's beating up on my two favorite prospects. And then I'm just trying to avoid it. And they're making me negative. Like, even I hate Justice now.
Danny Green has only had 1 year where he shot under 40% from three. I'm sorry, 2 years. And one of them was in Cleveland.
How many did he shoot 60% from three, though?
Gosh.
The NBA Finals.
Danny Green. My God.
I'm sorry. That's not true what I said about Danny Green. I was looking at field goal percentage.
This thing again with you, looking at the wrong columns.
He had 4 years under 40%. He's a career 40% three-point shooter. His field goal percentage.
Okay, so like, that's way less impressive now.
Yeah, I think his career high is 44%.
And he still will always be a better shooter than Josh.
Well, he's also like the demon of transition defense. Do you remember that?
Oh my!
Josh was pretty good on transition defense last year.
Would teleport and he'd like strip LeBron midair.
Danny Green would stop the LeBron Dwayne Wade fast break that was unstoppable for 4 years.
By himself,
2-on-1. Danny Green they might as well have just backed the ball out and reset the offense. Like, oh, Danny Green's down there. There's no point. There's absolutely no point in trying to dunk on Danny Green.
I don't know how that's possible, though. Like, it always worked, but he's not that big. He's not that athletic. He just kind of stood in the right spot, and then Wade and LeBron would get super confused, and it always ended in, like, a turnover or some stupid play.
Yeah, it was really bad.
In overtime, LeBron is on a fast break. He's going to the rim right at Danny Green. In midair, Danny Green strips LeBron off his knee Spurs ball. I was like, what?
Do you remember game six, late in the game, like probably three plays before that Bosh shot, or maybe five plays, I don't know. LeBron takes that half pass, half shot air ball. And you just, like, sit there for a minute, just like LeBron is the dumbest player in the world.
I was so done at that point in the game. I thought it was over.
Where
were you guys at when that shot went, before that shot happened?
That was my birthday. So I was with some people. Yeah, it was a fun birthday. I was hanging out with some people just super stressed out and just furious at LeBron.
That game took years off my life. He was so bad. Like, he was like,
he was really good and then really, really bad and then really, really good.
And then two turnovers.
And then Bosh hit that shot.
No, because no, he had the two turnovers, then he hit the three.
And then he missed the three.
Do you remember he got into the lane and hit like a floater and he thought he got fouled and he was on the floor going wild? No call, Spurs, and Spurs were going down the floor, and I was like, ugh, it's over.
Are we rehashing game six right now?
When is it not a good time to rehash game six?
I did like this.
Jack,
I like to think about that shot.
That doesn't make you happy.
What? No. The stress of that crap?
Game six, that was so much fun. I would.
You know what makes me happy? Rodney Magruder.
He was. Same. He wasn't there. You want to talk about the 2009-2010 Heat? That's my favorite Heat team. Alf, what's your favorite Heat team?
2016-2017.
Get the hell out of here. Stop.
No, for real, 2012-2013.
I do like this team a lot, though.
This is my
If Justice was healthy and playing well, this would be my favorite Heat team.
Why?
This is my top three.
Well,
it's my top three.
They're really
top three?
Yeah, because 12-13 to me was 12-13. Then I also liked 11-12, and then I like this one.
There's no pressure with this team either.
Oh, none. It's just fun, man. Like, even if they miss the playoffs.
Now, see, now I don't know. Now I feel pressure. Like, now the games matter. Like, now I care what they lose.
It's not that much pressure. Like, last year was more pressure. Last year was like, man, we need to get to Cleveland. We need to get to Cleveland. We need to get to Cleveland. And we just kept dropping like flies. Bosh.
Last year was fun.
Last year was fun. Like, that is, I did like that team, but like, Joe Johnson in the playoffs.
For healthy.
Nah, what are you, Harrison?
No, Joe Johnson in the playoffs might be the most infuriating thing since Danny Granger. Like, so that, like, really, Joe Johnson in the playoffs ruined that team for me. Like, this team is fun, man. Like, I like everyone on this team. And, like, people bring up, like, 2009, 2010. Like, I can't deal with the memories of, that's the Jermaine O'Neal year, right?
But, like, that team was good. Like,
no,
that team, because Dwayne was so good. Dwayne was so good at that time that you would think that, oh, they could win a playoff series or two. And the East wasn't that great at the time. And
needed Jermaine O'Neal to be a serviceable player.
And his second best player was Michael Beasley that year. And they just got matched up poorly with Boston. That was his best year. Beasley's never played good.
No, he had a good year in Minnesota. That was probably a little bit better.
He was, what was he like? Almost at 19 again.
Phoenix ruined him. I'll never forgive Phoenix for ruining Michael Beasley.
I was so sad when he got hurt in Milwaukee. That guy's a lifer, dude. That guy's a lifer. Is he
come
a lifer?
Come back, Bees.
Jack, is
if you're listening to this, and I know you are, come back.
He's going to get a job in the front office.
He's a lifer. He's got more chances.
He's going to serve ice cream at the media events.
Yes or no, they're going to give him one more chance.
Yes.
No.
They are.
They totally are. Brian,
for the
yes
culture.
Or no?
Yes, for sure.
One more, dude. It's going to be like in 5 years, but they're going to give him one more chance.
No.
He played a finals. He played finals games.
Do you remember
that finals? He did. Oh, my God.
He scored in the finals.
LeBron was obsessed with him.
He really was.
How could you not be?
No, LeBron is obsessed with high picks who turned out to be busts because he loved Greg Oden.
Derek Williams.
He loved Michael Beasley. He loves Derek Williams. Yeah. He's like, I can save these guys. That's where his ego's at right now. He thinks he can just like grab these guys and save them.
That's where he
was. LeBron's a bad GM. Like, he's a really, really bad GM. Because the moves that put them over the top are not LeBron's moves.
No, David Griffin's really good.
Exactly. David Griffin is orchestrated the Shumpert and the J.R. Smith deals. Like the guys that LeBron wanted are Mike Miller and James Jones. I mean, like he's a terrible GM.
Is James Jones like more hated than LeBron? Because like I feel like nobody likes James Jones.
He's just irrelevant.
No, but like I feel like you could talk to people in Miami, and I think like it's maybe 60-40 people that hate LeBron. I think like 80% of the people go like bleep James Jones.
But first, 80% of the people are like, who's James Jones? And then the last 20% are diehards, and they probably all hate. I'll probably all hate him. He used to come to my restaurant. I told you guys that.
The Taco Bell?
No, the other one. I don't like talking about everywhere I've worked in the past. Ass. Oh, sorry, write that down.
Can he say bleephole?
He can say bleephole. Yeah.
I think he can say
that's
ass.
That's too late now.
That's how they do it on TV. He bleeped the hole.
He blew it.
Like he was, like, I know he was making a lot of money, but he was the worst dresser I've ever seen. Like his shirts didn't fit. Like, and I know he's tall. Like, I know he can afford like to get his shirts done properly. Like he would move, and like you would see his forearm, and he's wearing a long sleeve shirt.
Like
anyway,
Tim Duncan. Like
yeah, no, he dressed worse. No, well, Tim Duncan clothes fit; they were too big. James Johnson looked like a little like he was wearing little boy clothes. James Jones.
Well, you're getting old, man.
No, Eric Reed and Tony do that all the time. I'm just as bad.
Tony does that more. Okay, so we have another poll up. Who would win in a fight? Anthony Chang or Jason Leisure?
Oh, Leisure, hands down.
I'm going Leisure, man.
Leisure's Jack? Winning, I think. Yeah, I'm going Leisure.
Yeah, easy. I don't even think. That's no contest.
Ron Rothstein took the lead in that Jason Jackson, Ron Rothstein poll. It's 56-44 right now, so...
Brendan Tobin must have got his hands on that.
And Mike Inglis is still winning the other poll over Tony and Eric and Zaz. Eric
Travis.
I don't know, dude. I still think Mike would win. And
what's Zaz's percentage?
They're 14.
Can we talk about that fight last night that everyone's going all crazy about?
Oh, yo, they connected.
No, they didn't.
Ibaka connected.
Oh, he barely... He barely grazed him, and they only got one game suspensions each. That's not a... Everyone's like, oh, the old school NBA is back. That is not...
Robin Lopez brought it back!
Yeah, whatever. Robin Lopez was not scared, though.
Ah, yeah.
But he's a monster. Like, why would he?
He also looks kind of crazy, right? Like, he looks like he has some loose screws.
Yeah, I wouldn't fight Robin Lopez. Oh. Never.
No. I'd fight Brooke, but not Robin.
Oh, yeah, Brooke is like the... Yeah, he's a punk.
He keeps
his hair all neatly trimmed.
Jack, are you going to interject or what?
Would I fight Brooke Lopez? Is that what we were talking about?
Who would you rather fight, Robin or Brooke Lopez?
Were you paying attention?
I was not paying attention. I got to admit that. No, I would rather fight Brooke Lopez easily.
What was more important?
What was more important?
Oh, what were you paying attention to that wasn't the show?
None of your business. No, I would rather fight Brooke Lopez. I just tuned out for a second. I do that.
So, Jason Leisure winning 60-40. Brian, did you like to show the audience who is beating Anthony Chang?
Hey, everybody. It's Jason Leisure, and I'm here to talk about an amazing program called Meet the Heat Podcast. It's celebrating its 100th year of making amazing podcasts, I was told. So, I'm here to say happy birthday to you. All of you guys that have worked so hard behind the scenes, you got the main guy that kind of is the host, and you got the other guys that come on, Johnny, Timmy, Eddie, Mike, all you guys, especially you, Mike, you make the whole thing run.
Thank you.
Make it all go, buddy.
Thank you, Jason.
Really proud of you guys. You really showed everyone that this can be done. You've created a program that makes you think. It's a program you listen to in the car with your kids on the way to school. You listen to it in the bedroom. I do. Truly tremendous work. And just happy birthday. And everybody should listen to Meet the Heat Podcast. Congratulations.
That thing is the greatest thing to ever happen to the show.
Hey, it's Mark Hockman from...
Stop!